First John 5. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The purpose of the blood is really, there's a jillion purposes, but we normally recognize that it's for the forgiveness of sin. In the offerings, before you could even start to do anything on the altar, there had to be a whole series of things that were done that were not regarding sin or trespass. It was regarding being defiled. Now, the things that defiled were birth and death. Mary, after the birth of Christ, was unclean. She was defiled by the act of the birthing of Jesus Christ, which is hard for us to conceive of. That somebody would be unclean because they birthed Messiah. The disciples were unclean after his death because they were in the presence of the resurrected one who had died. So they had to go through the waters of cleaning in order to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. So every time there was a birth or a death, then the person was defiled, which is really kind of interesting.
Weren't they defiled most of the time? Because there's always somebody dying.
Well, and they had to go through the process of being... It wasn't just if anybody died. It was if somebody died and you went into that house or you were in the proximity to them, then you are Levitically unclean. You were defiled. So there's two things. There's three, really three. There's defiling, there's trespass, and there's sin. The waters cover the defiling. The blood covers trespasses, the trespass offerings, and the sin. The blood covers the sin offering. The sin isn't what you do, it's what you are. So there's all those three offerings. And so when it says he came by water and blood, not by water or blood only, it's really, it's sort of like you need to find out what that means. Now, the other thing that caused defilement was leprosy. Now, leprosy, you know, if you read the modern commentaries, they say that leprosy was sin. No, leprosy isn't sin. Leprosy is defilement, because no one was ever healed of leprosy. They were cleansed of leprosy. And if you were a leper, the only way you could be cleansed from leprosy was with the waters, but you had to be totally leprous from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And that was those were the only ones that were eligible to be cleansed. Now, this is mind-blowing. Now, if you accept the premise of the Scripture that the human race died on the cross, then by definition the human race is always Levitically unclean, even if they are the vessels of the Holy One of Israel. Does anybody do you understand any of this, or am I just...
At your gut, you know this is true. Because you spend your sojourn here knowing that you're wrong.
And so every time you touch or come in the proximity of the dead body, and the way you do that is by giving importance to it, giving breath to yourself. That means you are automatically Levitically unclean because you've touched the dead body. That's why abandonment of self is so critical. Because if you don't abandon yourself, then you will always end up, as Harry said, no matter what you do, you can't be fulfilled. And you're always waiting for something else to happen. And so, the worst kind of leprosy that there was, the leprosy that was so serious that they couldn't even be in a leper colony, they had to be forever alone. That worst kind of leprosy was the leprosy of the forehead. There was a spot or a mark on your forehead, and you could never reach fulfillment, and you were forever alone. Does that sound familiar? So the only way that you are even eligible to partake of the waters that are the cleansing waters are if you see that you are totally leprous. That it's not just some minor thing. It's not just a spot. That's why the symbolism or simile of a leopard was used for the Antichrist. Because the parable is that the leopard has a spot, and the parable of a spot is the leprosy. And so you can't change the spots as long as you're gadding about to change yourself. You can never make it. Now that's why the mystery of Christ is so complete. It's either all of Him and none of you, or all of you and none of Him. Now how is leprosy of the forehead manifested? How is it? How do you know you have leprosy of the forehead? How do you know that's... Huh?
Self-awareness.
It's self-awareness or the I motive. That's why the I motive is what's always must be confessed or seen. Now, you by His offering, the waters cleansed you completely. By His offering, your trespasses were forgiven completely. By His offering, the sin, you as sin, was gone completely. But only if He is your life. And so everything in the universe is trying to bring your attention back on you for one purpose, to make you defiled. So that you'll be defiled with the dead body. You know, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit is only doing one thing. He's only revealing Christ. And so the whole process, this is why the idea of abandonment isn't strange if you know the law. If you know the law, you will rush to abandon yourself. You will have a gut-level fear of God with regard to ever giving yourself any importance. You are yours. The personal, the possessive, won't exist in your consciousness. Because of why? Not just because everything is empty and futile. Not just because you know you're the chief of sinners. But because you know that you will defile the temple with an awareness or with self-awareness or self-anything. And so when it says, and you got to hear this, it says, "He, this is he that came by water and blood, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is because of this, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness to this, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. These three are one." Again, the Trinity, the concept of the Trinity, is not just a theological arcane argument. If you don't believe the Trinity, then you can't see what I'm talking about. And most people don't even think about it, but it... "And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one." So the first thing that has to happen is you, in abandoning yourself, in doing this foolish, god-awful, stupid thing of taking absolutely no thought of or about or for your life, then the three that are in earth, in you, agree in one, just like the three in heaven agree in one. So can you see for a minute maybe why I've made fun of your ideas for so many years? Can you see I've made fun of your grand ambitions? Because all of them cause a Levitical uncleanness that has to be made, you have to be aware of it before the waters have done you any good. Now there's a jillion tapes down there about the ashes of the red heifer. And that is what is are the waters that provide the cleansing for both the birth, the death, and the leprosy. There's only been, in all of history, there were only seven, and some say nine, but I think seven red heifers. They had to be perfect. Not even the weight of a napkin could have been borne by them. They had to be burned in a particular, unique way in order that they could be used in the waters of cleansing. And they had to have, they were kept in pots made of what? The pot, the ashes that were used for the purpose of cleansing were kept in a vessel made of dung. Can you see why Paul had to say, "I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung"? Because he saw that the best he could be on earth was a vessel for those waters. "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water that cleanse." They're life-giving because they cleanse. The only life-giving instrument in the universe is the seed or sperma of God, which is Jesus Christ. He alone is life. So the waters can't give life, but the waters are what, coming from His people, and again, it had to be, there's no question in my mind that that's the reason for a minion, that's the reason for the size of the Seder, that's the reason that it's 10 to 20 people. That's the whole thing, because it all points back to this mystery of the red heifer, and every vessel in that had to see that they were nothing but the vessels of made of dung for that perfection, and through them and their speaking this, the rivers of living water would flow forth. So now we have in heaven three agreeing in one: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Now we have in earth the three agreeing in one: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now, if the three in earth, and it's not, notice it says there are three in earth, not on earth. The three in earth agree in one, and the three in heaven are in eternity, agree in one. And that's the basis. That's the mechanism by which you touch eternity, and in which your life is manifested only by eternity. There's nothing in the universe that can cause you to leave that place, because the thing we talked about yesterday, the plug always stays in to the socket. You unplug it by self-consciousness, panic, anything. You self-unplug it, and you can do everything in the universe to try to get power and act like you're getting power and have the manifestation of the witness of power, not because there's power, but because it's the latent power of the soul, which is cursed, that is revealed in group think. That's why rock concerts are so popular, because there's a release mechanism where you can keep pushing, generating the power. And that's why when you leave and go back alone, then you're hooked on that feeling you get in that group, and you think it's the anointing. I hope I've piqued your interest enough, if you don't remember all this, and I'm sure you don't, to go and listen to the tapes on the ashes of the red heifer and the waters of cleansing. If it's not important, then you won't. And you might want to, somebody ought to consider putting those tapes on the, make them available for the people that listen.
The completeness of that is so great. You know, it talks about, you know, it's like there's nothing left out that's not covered by what you just described. You know, and most people don't even know there's the need, let alone the provision for it. You know?
And that's the reason that's the reason the preachers are in so much trouble, because everything I've told you this morning is taught, at least partially, in seminary, but it's never discussed. I've never heard this discussed in any other environment save here. Well, because they think it's too complicated for the people.
It's on the same basis also as the scapegoat, you know.
Oh, yeah, the scapegoat is the same thing.
This whole area of, you know, why do I still feel weird even though I believe in Jesus and everything's taken care of? What is that? You know, and it's because you
still have a consciousness.
You don't know all this, you
right?
Know, other provision that's been made, you know, available for us.
And again, it's so when it says you have been perfected by one offering, he didn't leave anything out. But again, you never believe it because you haven't been apprehended by the fullness of it, and so you always then have to have something else to take place. You have to be healed, or you have to get some money, or you have to wait until certain things happen. The finishness of it is beyond anything that we can understand. I spent those years and years and years studying what that finishedness meant, and I talk about it, and for the most part, people, it doesn't connect because you don't know the law. So then I try to teach the law. Well, that got a long way. And so then I just said, well, maybe it's not necessary for everyone to see this in order to complete the plan of God. I'm convinced it's not. But I must see it. And that's what I've said to you so often. Do you know that if you were the last person on the face of the earth, would you still be faithful to this? Or would you just drift off into... I don't feel like talking anymore. I'm not doing too good today. Does this pique anybody's interest?
I was thinking about vessel of dung. You probably talked about it before, but I never saw the picture.
Well, I mean, it's a vessel. It's a broken vessel, a pot, a broken earthen pot. It's a I mean, you don't hang on just one thing. You hang on everything as a parable for this one mystery. But the fullness of it, in this context, is that you and I and this Seder, this body, is a vessel to contain the ashes of the red heifer, which the ashes of the red heifer, it's the only female offering of this kind, the ashes of the red heifer are, you're the ashes. That's when we're in a state of fasting and prayer, they repented in sackcloth, again, the hair of made from the sacrifice, not some piece of burlap. And again, when the animal was sacrificed, they had to lay their hands on it to make it that they were the ones that were being offered. And then you repent in sackcloth and ashes because you have been burned to be the offering for cleansing. It's the living sacrifice, and it's female. So, if you can understand even a little bit of this, you will understand why abandonment is of self. And it's not even, well, this is the picture I see. Nobody cares. You gotta hear that this isn't about what you see or don't see. It's about what has apprehended you, and it can only be revealed in your life. That doesn't mean you should stop saying what you have been saying, but I'm just telling you, you've got to come. You realize every time in Paul in the scriptures when one of the disciples used I, he said, I speak as a fool. And that way we do sing the new song. We sing the new song because it's without the I motive. And we don't sing it with instruments of 10 strings or psalteries or harps or sackbuts. We sing the instrument, the song, with our life. Music, and the purpose of music, it was gone. When the 16,000 member Levi choir left, now we sing with our life. Oh, but music is so makes me feel good. Well, it serves a purpose. Now, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. When I became an adult, I put away the childish things.
I like that idea of our lives vibrating to this chord or something.
Yeah, and it's the one that has to be, yeah, it's a chord that you've written about before, the chord that ties us to eternity, and each of us can only be in tune when we are in total integrity and abandoned. Otherwise, we're still at the time of the pre-orchestra where everybody's tuning their instrument. I mean, even music, I'm not making fun of music, but I say I am. But it's only a type. There's nothing in itself. But I wasted a whole lot of time because everybody in Bananas wanted me to talk about, you know, the pyramid or the stars or they didn't want to hear about all this offering stuff. And I spent so many years on that. But it's all on tape. Trying to talk.
All on tape. Slowly oxidizing. The single most meaningful Bible study I've ever, for me, was the one about the cleansing of the leper. The idea of an invisible line that you're on the outside hopeless.
And you touch the
toe across the line and the ear across the line and finally be allowed to come across the line.
But the point of it is, every single time you give consciousness to self,
throw yourself back.
You throw back ego, ego. Yeah, why? That's a great point. Why is it always the body of sin and death? Because it's sin because it's against the law, but it's death because you've touched the dead body. And again, when you look at the type of, if you look, I don't care whether you look at the type of us as the bread or us as the wine, it all comes out. You end up the same place. You can imagine this isolated grape trying for self-realization. Well, that's the pure definition of the leprosy of the forehead. That's a isolated grape trying to get it right. That's leprosy. Isolated grape trying to fix his life. That's leprosy. And you're forever alone, no matter what you do. Again, nothing in this Bible is optional. I don't care whether you believe it. If you like, you've got to know your own. You got to know what aloneness is, and the desperate aloneness when you can't even be, you're not even with any of the people that you're with. That's the leprosy of the forehead. So he came. This is he that overcometh the world. He came not just by water or blood. He came by water and blood. And the Spirit beareth witness to the water and the blood, because the Spirit can only be truth. There are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Son, or the Word, the Spirit. And there are three that bear witness. And those three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth: the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And these three agree in one. That's got to mean something. And it's not that you have to. I don't care whether you're not. You go back and spend 5 years studying the offerings, or you could spend a lifetime studying the waters. But I want you to know that every single time that you're the subject, you or yours are the subject of a thought. Why do you think Christ said, even if you think about having a relationship with a woman, you've done it? It's the same thing. If you let your mind go to any kind of, what am I going to do about this? And what does this mean to me? You're the one that's in control of that. Your mind, you've got all power in heaven and earth to deal with these high place activities. And they're not high place activities. They aren't what's going on in the government of Caesar Chavez or somebody. The high place activities are what's going on in your mind. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God, to the bringing down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing, again, this thing, never stop, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience, every imagination to the obedience of Christ. What is the obedience of Christ? It is finished. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience once your obedience has been fulfilled. But you won't have a readiness to unless you see the evil of it. Otherwise, you'll just think, you get mad at me for making fun of you. That sound familiar to anybody? Harry? I've got 53 things on my list of things to do. Brush my teeth. Used to comb my hair.
Mark that one off.
You can scratch that one.
Take it, big guy.